Oh, Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Have you enjoyed the diplomats thus far? Yes. Amen. Go ahead. That's just a little warm-up music for you. That didn't cost you a dime. Amen. Every night we'll have a little music before the service starts at 7. They'll start at 6:45, and we're very thankful for that. They're very gracious to come. And how many of you have already enjoyed a good meal here at Calvary tonight? Raise your hand. All of you could have had dinner at 5:30. Amen. You say, well, you should have let us know that. Well, I'm letting you know now. Come back tomorrow night, 5:30, and we will feed you. 5:30. It's a great time of fellowship. Ladies and Brother Jack are doing a tremendous job down there. They supply a meal every night through Thursday at 5:30. Great time of fellowship, great meal. And it makes things a little easier, doesn't it? Amen?
Amen.
And we appreciate that. So please try and be here tomorrow night at 5:30 if you can. We'd love to have you all. And we have Floyd Rode here with us tonight, and we're very excited about that. Amen. They'll be coming around and singing for us in a little while. The diplomats will come back, and we're going to hear a little more from them as well. We're very excited about that. And our pastor will be around in a few moments to introduce to you the speaker for the evening. Brother Sammy done a tremendous job last night. Hey, when I'm down, God's up to something. Amen. You ever feel like you were down? But to know that God is up to something. Man, what a message last night. Brother T.D.'s message yesterday morning. What a day we had yesterday in the house of the Lord. And we're very excited tonight. I tell you what, let's do this. Why don't you turn with me? You've been sitting for a few moments. Turn with me over to page number 370. Page number 370. And let's all stand tonight. And let's sing an old song that simply says, revive us again. You know it. Let's everyone stand and sing it. Choir stand. Church stand. Let's sing together. Here we go now. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. On the last now. Revive us again, fill each heart with Thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
All right, let's slow that thing down. No music. I want you to sing this with me now. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Thank you, church. You can be seated. Folks are coming from far and wide. Old cab meeting on the county line. 101, yeah, it feels like revival. Redback hymnals, folding chairs, canvas tin in the open air, sawdust floors and a Holy Ghost prayer. Revival.
Stir and shake the earth, revival.
Let's head on down to the riverside. Muddy water and robes of white. One more sinner gonna be baptized. Revival. Time moves on and it ain't the same. The names and the face and the places change. One thing that remains the same. Revival. Revival. We're gonna shout the glory down, join in that heavenly sound, toe tapping, hand clapping, revival. We're gonna stand and testify, hands lifted up to the sky, faith stir and shake the earth, revival.
Amen.
A little bit of track and field to get down here. Catching my breath and giving out complete sentences at the same time. Oh, anyway, it's good to be here. You glad you're saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been looking forward to tonight for some time, as we have the entire week. And tonight's real special to me, as each night is, but it's good to have Floyd Road with us. I know it's been said already, but Floyd Road was where I was pretty much brought up at, and got saved November 19th in 2002. Hey, y'all try to sing like that and give announcements at the same time. It's hard. But anyway, we love Floyd Road. And I was coming up the stairs a moment ago and met Brother Keith and Miss Kim in the hall there, and had about 10 seconds to catch up. but nonetheless, we've come to worship tonight. And let me say this. This is, I said it yesterday, but I'll say it again. This is the 23rd annual Jubilee here at Calvary Baptist Church. And so we are such honored and glad to be here. I do want to give a couple instructions here. We have bathrooms on this, my right and your left. If you go down the hall, and down the stairs, it'll be just past the nursery on the other side of our fellowship hall. And we do have nursery services, as we do each night all during the week. We also have a Jubilee, Junior Jubilee, going on downstairs. And Brother Brian, which is our campus director at the Children's Home, also our youth minister. And Brother Brian is doing an excellent job, as he has been doing down through the years. And we fired that up last night, and he kicked that off. And the kids were excited last night about our Junior Jubilee. And so you remember that. And let's just come tonight. Let's worship the Lord and see what he might have for us. You excited to be here? Say amen one more time.
Amen.
Well, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful. And Lord, we're grateful for who you are, for what you do. Lord, we're thankful for how you moved yesterday and how you ministered to hearts, Lord. And Brother TD yesterday morning speaking about going from discouragement to deliverance, and Elijah being up under the juniper tree, and then Brother Sammy last night, Lord, speaking to us about how that you're moving in our situation, how that he bowed upon top of Mount Carmel and he prayed, and he had a servant to go down and look for rain 7 times. He was consistent in his prayers. He believed in his prayers, and the rain came, Lord. Father, I pray tonight that you'd be with us in a very mighty way. Speak to hearts, be with the diplomats, be with our choir, Calvary's choir, and be with Floyd Road, Lord. And my prayer is, if there's one here that's lost, tonight will be the night that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And for the one that is cold and indifferent, maybe tonight that they would have their hearts become warmed, Lord, in a glow and come back to you. But Father, as we leave tonight, let it all be said, it was good to be here in the house of the Lord. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Would you please welcome back tonight at Calvary's Jubilee, the diplomats.
I love picking on old people anyhow, you know. That's kind of a mission in life.
You'll be there one day.
Well, I mean, it caused a fight in the church. And I wasn't even talking about you. But I think Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Because one, we have a Savior on our side that he said that I've gone to prepare a place for you. If it were not true, I would have told you. You know, if you read into this world so many things, CNN, Fox News, Facebook, whatever post you want to read, it is disgusting to see what our country has gone through. People say, oh, it'd get better if we just humble ourselves. Hey, we should humble ourselves to the Lord. But there's always been persecution. But when it comes pain and trials, it's for God's glory. Just like what all the disciples went through and all the prophets prophesied about. His glory will come, but it comes through pain. It comes through sorrow. But all I can tell you tonight, friend, is hold on. Because it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that he washed away our sins, that he not just covered them up so that the wind could scatter them around, but he cast them as far as the east is to the west. No other God can do that but Jesus Christ. Amen. He saw it all.
Day I met my Jesus, I'm His. Praise the Lord. It always feels good when the Lord passes by. I always say we need to do God a favor for being here. God did us a favor. Tonight, let us be here. Brother Dustin said 23 years. I have been here 21 years. I went back and looked at my book 21 years ago. And I had Snyder's name on it. And I remember when Snyder invited us to come. I remember one night on a Wednesday night, people was running to the altar, getting saved. I look forward to the day that the Lord comes back. I don't believe it's far off. I'm so glad Brother Justin called. When he calls, he's a lot gentler than what Snyder is. Snyder tells you, we're going to be such and such a time. We want you there at such and such a time. And I want you singing at such and such a time. I want you quitting at such and such a time. But Justin, all he does is say, let the Lord have his way. But I love them two men. They've been great supporters of the Diplomat for years, especially Brother David is preaching tomorrow night, and hopefully Miss Rita will get to come tomorrow night, Brother David. I'm praying that I can bring her over there. TD, you couldn't ask for a better gentleman than his wife, Miss Joy. You couldn't ask for two better people. I noticed out there that Miss Joy drove up, and she got out. I thought she was fixing to go around and open the door for TD. She carried his book and Bibles and everything, you know, but he waited on until you got through with everything. But I love you. 88-year-old preacher, still strong. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Had a great service last night, had a great service yesterday. The Lord is still here, the Lord is still working. And tonight be a good night. I love this choir. This choir means a lot to me because they sing my song I wrote. But that song that night on a Wednesday night, come down and found the Lord, and it just tickled me. I knew what it's all about. You know, we've been through ups and downs, but we know God is in control. Soon be next month, 55 years I have done this. I ain't regretted a bit. Sometimes I doubted the Lord. Why you put me in this place and why you put me over here. But you know what? One soul maybe come down and find the Lord, and I know why we're supposed to be there. I was saved under the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, preaching. At 13-year-old, I thought Christian people was the biggest sissies in the world. We lived in a little four-room house heated by an old coal fireplace, had the lights you had to blow out. Took a bath in a number three wash tub. Had that little path out back. My son didn't have to have that little path. But he questioned me. He said, Dad, what'd you do when it was cold? I said, we hurried. Lost my dad when I was 13, the same year I got saved. My little mom would pray every night, Lord, save my son. Every night. And I'm so glad she didn't give up, because I remember the night that her little prayers touched heaven. Down the aisle, I tell you. It was at a temp meeting on a Monday night. I got saved on a Monday night. She shouted all over the house. And I look back and somebody had to pray for you to get you where you at today. Harold, I want you to sing a song you sung the other night. This is a song that takes me back to the night that I got saved. How they crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we get to heaven, there's going to be no scars except for the hands that man put in Jesus' hands.
in tonight?
Corey, before your musicians go down, can we do this? Can you guys give us a little bit of traveling music, and we're going to change choirs. Would you enjoy hearing their musicians play for us tonight? Hey, man, they've done some instrumentals. This would be a great time for it. So let's do this. Calvary's choir is going to come down. I don't know how we're going to come down. Y'all going to come up, but we're going to do this. All right, so just be careful. Let's take... Yeah, whatever you say. All right. Calvary's choir is going down that way. All right. Floyd Road, come up this way. And let's do a little swap. All right. Church, stand with me. That'll give you a little bit of time to stretch. You'll enjoy some music here. And let's do a choir swap. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Would you please make welcome tonight the Floyd Road Baptist Church Choir.
Oh, are honored and privileged once again to be here with y'all this year, talking about being 23 years. I would assume it's either been 23 or 22 that we've been a part of this, and I can't tell you how special these services are to me as well. Brother Corey, hurdling, trust me. We Floyd Road folks, we know all about Brother Justin's hurdling. I assure you, there is absolutely zero problem with his hurdling. The drums over at Floyd Road at one time used to be right in front of the tenors, and the cymbals would land on the ground, and the hi-hat would be flying all over the place. Trust me, he has no problem making stuff move and hurdling. All right? Amen. Amen. We love Brother Justin, and we thank y'all once again for allowing us to be here tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank Brother Matt and Victoria and Miss Lauren. We stole a few members from Eastwood Baptist Church tonight. I want to thank them for coming and helping us. But to be honest with you, they're on paper, they're members of Eastwood, but they're still home folks for us, and they're part of us as far as I'm concerned. We're going to sing a new song for you that we learned 4 or 5 months ago. I actually heard it at my wife's work. And for those of you that don't know, my wife works at a funeral home. But this was such a beautiful song that I said, we got to give this song a shot. So if they're going through a trial, you're going through a valley, no matter where you're at, he is the peacemaker.
He to look at God's children, the world just might say how foolish we are to believe. Oh, but they just don't know we are heirs to a throne and our name is on the deed.
Rejoice, my children, rejoice, for our name is recorded
shows up anytime this week, you tell him he missed his song, all right? Amen. He loves that song. Anytime we're anywhere near him, he wants us to sing that song. I pray it was a blessing to you. I apologize. My son-in-law was not able to come tonight, so I'm having to sing all his songs. So he sings them so much better than I do. But y'all pray for us as we sing Ever Faithful. Brother Randy. once again for allowing us to be here tonight. I'm sure at some point during these 22, 23 years that we have been here, we have sung this song, but I figured it's been so long, maybe y'all forgot. It is definitely one of those top five songs for me that we've ever done. I love this song. And thank y'all once again for allowing us to be here. And I pray this song will be a blessing to you. By the way of the cross.
Everyone could see, but his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." In paradise that day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. One said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to say,
I have come by.
of our choirs combine and sing There Is a Fountain. And so if Calvary's choir would make their way on back on up, find a hole or a spot to jump into. Our altos are over here and our sopranos over here. And y'all come on up here and let's sing this together.
Did you enjoy the singing tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. But for the grace of God, where would we be? And appreciate the Lord and what He's done in my life. And again, let me say thanks to everyone being here. You are our honored guest. All of you are. And appreciate the diplomats and all the good singing so far. Appreciate Floyd Road. And so now comes time for our speaker tonight, Brother Soup, Brother Michael Soup, and Lawrenceville, Georgia. Is that right? All right. Last year was the first year that I heard them, and Lord, speak to my heart and speak to the church and everybody that was here, and nothing but good reports. And so, Michael, you come on around, brother. Give us the word tonight.
Amen. It's an honor to be back tonight. It's always a thrill to get to go back anywhere, but then with a new pastor to still be invited, it's just a special honor. Thank you for everybody that participated in the music. What a wonderful joy just to sit and listen. And I read the Word of God in a little bit and just try to get where I feel like I need to be and just hear. Just what a help. What a blessing. I appreciate these two churches. What a wonderful partnership. You have. I've been coming here for many years, not preaching that often, but I sure have enjoyed getting to come. And it seems like I always pick the night that Floyd Rhodes coming and just get to be together with you. And it's a great blessing. It's a treasured relationship. Hope you realize how special it is to be able to labor together. And I appreciate it so much. But invite you tonight to take your Bibles. Look with us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And then I want you to find the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Just going to read one verse or so out of Deuteronomy 6. I won't read, but maybe a little bit there, but I really want you to turn to Numbers 32 and invite you to keep your Bibles out tonight. I'm going to make you work a little bit, and we'll still be referring to different scriptures through. I want to thank those that sent me cards this week, last week. I do appreciate all that. Very much of encouragement. Y'all the only church just about that I know that does it that way, but it sure is a blessing to open those cards and to read those notes and believe that you're praying for us. And I appreciate each one that you sent our way. And very much of an encouragement to us tonight. The book of Deuteronomy first. I know we're going backwards a little bit, but just pick out the words that are here and see if the Lord will let me find that place. I do appreciate again getting to be here. And I know y'all are just like me. You're glad to see Brother Snyder, and it's a joy to see him. And I hate it. He was doing all he could do to get tickets to the roller derby tonight. But they were having a big thing down at the Civic Center, but they sold out. And he told Marsha, well, I guess we'll have to go to church. But anyway, good to see Snyder. And I appreciate the years and the friendship. But Brother Justin, thank you. It's good to see how God's blessed you. We prayed for you, and I'm encouraged. And thank the Lord, and I'm real grateful. But I want to ask you tonight, I know it'd been easy, boy, what singing led us to just, I preached yesterday on I'd rather have Jesus. And man, I just thought, boy, let me just jump right back there. But several months ago, I can say this was the place, as Brother Justin confirmed that we would be back with you. This was the place where I felt like I needed to labor tonight. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're just going to pick out a verse, if you would. Look, if you will, verse number 21. And then we're going to go to Numbers chapter 32. We're going to combine some words out of both and see if the Lord will let us preach to you tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 21. The Bible says, then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And I know it's Jubilee week. And I know Jubilee, part of that is time to let those that are in bondage go free. And I pray tonight, my hope would be tonight, that God will free up some of you to get neck deep in His blessings and the joy that He has for your life. I'm convinced today that too many Christians are living below our means when it comes to the spiritual things of life. Physically, we run around living above our means, but when it comes to the house of God, somehow it seems like we're living below what God's allowed and provided for us. But notice in verse number 21, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Now would you turn to Numbers 32 and verse number 5. And if you'd pick out that thought, he brought us out that he might bring us in. But now you'll notice there's 3.5 tribes are going to come to Moses. And even though the Bible says he brought us out that he might bring us in, these three and a half tribes are going to come to Moses and say, "Wherefore, sir," they said, "if we had found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." Now to me that got my attention. God said he'd brought them out that he might bring them in. And they're right on the cusp of the land of promise. And they look at Moses and they said, "Moses, if it's all right with you, don't make us go across that river. Let us stay here." Now, I see Brother Keith in the back, and you can check out his podcast and find out all about the will of God and figure out just where the perfect and the permissive and all that was in this situation. But we see 3.5 tribes that said, even though God's got the promised land for us, if it's all right with you, Moses, we'd rather stay here. And look at verse number 1 and see what prompted that. Verse number 1 of chapter 32. Look at your Bibles for just a minute. "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle." What happened? They saw something. Here God's got a plan for them. God's got a place for them. God's got everything lined up for them in the promised land, but they saw something. And instead of going by faith, they took that little detour we're all prone to make by sight, and they started doing their own math and their own logic, and they said to Moses, they said, "Moses, this is a good place for cows. And if you haven't noticed, we've got cows. And so it's a good place for cows. We've got cows, so surely it must be God's will that we stay on this side of the river." How many of us have found ourselves making the same assessment, using the same logic? It was a great place for cows, but you'll read and study as we go through this, you'll find out it might have been not such a good place for children. There's a lot of things that look good for our possessions, and looks like it makes sense mathematically, financially, economically, but it don't make sense when it comes to our spiritual life. And it was a good place for cows, but it proved not to be such a good place for children. I noticed that it might have been a great place to make a fortune, but it wasn't a place to mold a family. And God's children, I challenge you tonight to look around and say, "God, help me. Speak to my heart. Is there an issue, an area of my life that has gotten me bogged down in a border town?" I wonder tonight if there's any here that are bogged down in a border town. Just that close to the blessings. Just that close to where God had a plan. And you say, "Well, why did the Lord let them?" I cannot explain that to you. And God even blessed them in times there. But you'll find these three tribes, Reuben, Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, you'll find time and time again, they're the first ones in trouble. They're the first ones to have hardship. And I want you to walk with me tonight. That's what I want you to keep your Bibles open. And I want you to follow these three groups and see how many times when trouble comes, it seems to start with them. And I wonder tonight, could you just ponder your spiritual life? Let the Holy Ghost speak to you. And answer this question: are you bogged down in a border town? How many of you have ever been to a border town? They're just these places, and we can think of the ones along different borders, and we've been privileged to go to places, but you come to that place, and on this side is the land of blessing, this side is the land of promise, and on this side is the almost. And I find out in a lot of border towns, it's a busy place. There's always hustle and bustle. There's always chaos. There's always a lot of chatter. There's always it's just that atmosphere that some folks thrive on. I'm just old enough to where I can't stand chaos. I understand why old people don't get out much. I mean, you get to doing three different things at once, and next thing you know, you've laid your stuff down, walked off and left it, and it's gone. I understand that, and I try to be more patient than I used to be and realize, but there's some people just thrive on chaos, thrive on that energy. I don't. But you get in a border town, and it's all the time. But I ain't place, I don't believe, where God wants us to be. Are you bogged down in a border town? Let's follow these three groups of people and see what happens to them going through the Scripture. Look what Moses said to them. Moses said, as he said to them, wait a minute. In verse number, let's follow the Scripture, and we're in Numbers 32. And they said, even though the Bible said he brought us out that he might bring us in, they said, Moses, don't bring us over. And in verse number 6, Moses says unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? You're going to find somebody bogged down in a border town. Just look and see when God's people are going on where they are. And they said, oh, wait a minute, Moses, we know better than that. We're not going to do that. And look what the Bible tells you if you'll study and walk through these verses in Numbers chapter 32. They said, if you'll do this, we'll build pens for our cows, and we'll build huts for our children, and we'll leave our families here, and every one of us, Moses, will go to war with our brethren. That's what they said. How many of you heard the Bible verse that said, be sure your sin will find you out? It comes from this chapter. It comes from when Moses said, now wait a minute, if you say you're going to do that and you don't do it, be sure your sin's going to find you out. Folks in a border town, they just have they have issues with inconsistency. Check your spiritual life. I'm preaching a metaphor here. I'm preaching an analogy. But look how many times in our spiritual life we've got great plans, great ambitions, but it seems like when it comes time to pay off, we can never quite get it done. They said, Moses, we'll send everybody to war just like everybody else. We'll do everything. Notice in this text, I can't read every verse. I've got to move on. But look at verse number, he said in verse 6, shall you sit here and your brethren go to war? And if you follow that down through there, they said, we'll send everybody out to war. Verse number 18, we'll not return unto our houses until the children have inherited every man his inheritance. Look at verse 21. And we'll go, all of you, armed over Jordan before the Lord. Notice that word all. All of the ones will go. Everybody shall go. And the Bible said in verse number 23, but if you'll not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. And he said, build your cities for your little ones, your folds of your sheep that you do, that hath proceeded out. And he said, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. I want to ask you tonight, how many places and how many times have we said, this is what we're going to do? But when the battle got hot and when it came time to bear it out, we wind up bogged down. I want you to see something. Follow your Bibles with me. You're just going to have to work with me tonight a little bit. Look, if you will, and go turn the page, and you will find where the Bible said that Moses was told to take a census. God said, I want you to add up everybody that can go to war. And if you'll find this, if you'll have to go with me in Numbers 26, and if you'll find through Numbers 26, if you'll just study how that God had counted up everybody that could go to war. In Numbers 26, verse number 1, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, take a sum of the congregation of Israel from 20 years old and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. And he took a census of every tribe. And I'm interested in verse number 7 of chapter 26. Of the Reubenites, there were 40 and 3,000 that were able to go to war. Numbers 26, verse 18. And these are the family of the children of Gad, 40,500 that were able to go to war. Numbers 26, verse number 34. And of them that were numbered of the tribe of Manasseh, 52,700. Now we're only going to look at a half tribe, right? Because half's going one way, half's going the other. You do the math. That's 109,000 men that they said we'll send out to battle. But watch your Bible. Watch your Bible in verse number 13. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle of those three tribes. Now, I don't know about you, but is 40,000 all of 109? The first place we find this these folks bogged down in a border town, we find some inconsistency. We're going to do great things. We're going to be there for you. But next thing you know, there's about a third of them that go, and two-thirds of them don't go to war. Say, preacher, what are you trying to tell us tonight? I'm just trying to ask you tonight, have some issues in your life got bogged down? It's a good place to raise cows. It's a good place for our possessions. But it's not a good place to go on and thrive for the Lord. You say, preacher, they were part of the family. But I want you to stay with me a few minutes. We got to work through some pages. But I believe you're going to see something. Not only were they inconsistent, go over to Joshua chapter 13 with me. Not only that, but you'll find they had a problem with incompletion. God told them to go in and do away with everybody, to take over the land and do away with the inhabitants. But look at Joshua chapter number 13. And let's just jump into verse number 13 of that. And I want to show you something right here. Nevertheless, the children of Israel, I'm in Joshua 13, 13. And I know they teach you, read one text and preach there, don't turn again. I understand that, but I just didn't do well in school. And I just like to let my Bible just talk to me all the way through, all right? So look with me in Joshua 13 and 13. Nevertheless, the children expelled not the Gershuites, nor the Maacathites, but the Gershuites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. I'll give you three guesses. What tribe those people lived in? They lived among the tribe of the Gad, and they lived among the tribe of the Reubenites. And so as it comes to Israel, it's supposed to go in and they're supposed to take over and they're supposed to conquer their land and they're supposed to do away with those and they're not supposed to mix with those that are not like them. Guess what happens? The Gadites and the Reubenites don't clear out the land. They had not only had problem with inconsistency, they had a problem with incompletion. And here again, and I'm making a picture of our Christian life. We've got great plans. We've gotten saved. We're going to do great things. And God's got so much for us. But we wound up stopped at the border. And we just never seemed to go over. The Bible, Paul said, let's go on even under perfection. Paul said, I'm praying that you'll be complete and perfect in the will of God. And we long for power. We long for a move. We long for a strength in our churches and in our families. And if we'll look, maybe we'll wound up camping down at the border town instead of going all the way in. Go a little further with me. I've got to move on. But here's where I want to get you to tonight. Look at something else as you study this. Not only did they have a problem with inconsistency, they had a problem with incompletion, but they also had an identity problem. And this, I believe, will really encourage us tonight. Look, if you will, into the book of Joshua chapter 22. Most of you probably have forgotten this scripture is in the Bible. It's never mentioned much. We don't talk about it much. How many of you are aware tonight, as they came across the Jordan River, what did they do? They picked up stones out of the Jordan River. They got across. Every tribe had a designate. Every tribe, all 12 tribes, picked up a stone in the middle of the river. They went across the bank, and what did they do? They built a monument there, right? God told them to do it. The Bible said it was there for a witness. It would be there for a memorial. When your children ask, what mean these stones? You'll know that God brought us out of Egypt, and He delivered us across this Jordan River, and God did a mighty work, and it'll be a memorial. Well, that's great, except for one thing. We got three tribes living on the other side of the river. Guess what they're never going to see? They're never going to see that memorial. But now here's the thing. Israel had learned a lesson. They didn't keep it, but they learned it. They were so hesitant. I apologize. I'm so sorry. I thought I turned that off. I do apologize. Anyway, they were so concerned about doing anything that looked like idolatry. Don't make a memorial. Don't make an altar. Don't do anything. But watch what happens. Would you read your Bible with me tonight? Look, if you will, I'm in Joshua chapter 22. In Joshua chapter 22, those three tribes go back across the river. They get dispersed. Joshua says you can go back home. But something happens when they get over there. And I just want you to read what your Bible says in these passages. So let me just take a moment. Joshua 22. And I'm in Ruth, so that ain't going to work because there ain't no 22 chapters in Ruth. Amen? All right. Joshua chapter 22. They go back home. And the first thing they did, if you'll look at your Bible down around verse number 11. That's serious. I mean, I turned it off. I'm sorry. That happens when the pastor goes off to preach. All right. Joshua 22. If you will, looking down into verse number 10. And when they came into the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, half tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see. Only one thing. There's no direction from God to do that. Where are they doing it? They're doing it over in the border town. God's people's got one over in the promised land. We want to have one over here in the border town. God had told them to make the one over in the promised land. God had told them not to make altars anywhere else. And here they are. But you watch this and walk through this chapter with me. The people on the other side, they hear about it. And they said, get up a committee and go down there. Because we're not taking somebody else's beating again. We're not getting in trouble over something we didn't do. So the nine tribes send across the river. And they're ready to issue a decree of war. They are ready to go in there and wipe them out. They'll do that before they'll defile themselves with a pagan altar. These three tribes that are on the wrong side of the river that have gotten bogged down because they had cattle and it was a good place for cattle, now they decide we've got to build an altar just like they've got on the other side. And they do that. They send representatives. They said, y'all got us in a mess. God's going to judge all of us because of this altar. Watch your Bible. Look with your Bible in verse number 18. I'm just loving these verses. We're just going to have to read verse 16. We're further along than you think I am. I can't tell what time it is because I turned my phone on. So turn my phone off. Verse number 16. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have builded you an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? I'm not making this up, I'm telling you. They were in serious trouble. They've come to find out what this altar thing's about. They had to leave the promised land, go across the river to the border town, and say, what are y'all doing? You're going to bring judgment on all of... Look at what he says in verse 17. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? He says, look, we're still suffering from the last time we suffered from the hand of God because we disobeyed. We're not making that mistake again. Look at what they said. But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he'll be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord. I just have an idea that they thought on the other side of the river was where God wanted them to be. Would you rather have the possession of the Lord or your possession? He said, if your possession's unclean, then leave here and come over the river into God's possession. And that's what happens with people that get bogged down in a border town. They think it's just as good here as it is over there. And all across our churches today, we're spending time trying to tell people, pack up and get over to the other side of the river where God's got blessing and where God wants us to be. But we wind up bogged down right close. We're close. We're right across the river, but we just can't ever seem to get over there. Watch what happens. Look at the reasoning for this. Look at the reasoning for this. And he goes on into verse number 24. And so now they're making their case. They're giving their argument. And they said this in verse number 24, these three tribes. And if we have not rather done it for the fear of this thing. This is what we were afraid of, Joshua. This is what we were afraid of, nine tribes. We were afraid of this thing, that in time to come, your children might speak to our children, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? Verse 25, for the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us, ye children of Reuben, the children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing God, the Lord. Now look at verse 27. But that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord with him, our burnt offerings, and with our sacrifice, our peace offerings, that your children might not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. They had an identity problem. Isn't it amazing? This hadn't happened. They hadn't been there long enough to have children and start a new generation and go this way. But what are they saying? They say, well, you know, we come back across that river and we're trying to live over here. But we just got to thinking, one day it might come a day when y'all say, you know what? We don't know who y'all are. Y'all don't have a part with us. Go back where you come from. How many times have you been in church? You've only been here pastoring a year, right? Just about that. You might not have had that blessing yet. But hang on. I'm going to prophesy right here. How many times have you had somebody in church get their feelings hurt, and what did they say? You left Johnny out. You left Johnny out. Susie's been there all of her life. And I know she's not there every week, but she's been a part of that youth group since it started. And y'all just forgot about Susie. And Susie feels like she don't have no part in it no more. Tell Susie to get her brother Johnny and get mom and dad and get out of the border town and get across the river and get with God's people, and there won't be an identity problem. But that's what they said. They said, we're afraid that you're going to leave our kids out. You're afraid that somebody's going to forget that we were a part of that thing. Nobody will forget that you were a part of it if you stay a part of it. Amen? Amen. But everybody's worried about somebody forgetting what Uncle Joe did back in 1972. Well, honey, let me tell you, just let Uncle Joe stay around and nobody will forget what he did. But what do? We like it down in the border town. We like it down where there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of stuff going on and there's a lot of noise and they stay up all night. And oh, it's a hectic place. And one of these days, preacher, we're going to go across, but we just got a lot going on right now. And somehow, you know, you wind up in the cattle business and you wind up here and you wind up there and you never get across the river. Now, we've seen three things about these three tribes. They were inconsistent. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. They were incomplete. God said, go in there and clear it out, and they didn't do that. They had identity problems. Looky there. They had identity. They said, we're afraid you're going to forget about our children. Let me tell you what, they ain't no church. They ain't no church going to forget about the children. Children's the lifeblood of every church. The children were all of our hope and our dreams and our prayer. Nobody's going to forget about your kid, but you need to keep them around the things of God. We're going to include children in everything we do if they're there. But honey, we can't pull them out of the air. And we can't overcome mom and dad deciding we're just going to live outside And over here, we don't have so many rules and regulations. Three things already. We've got about two things left, maybe three. Notice, if you will, over into under the book of Judges, we're going to find these tribes again. Now, you have to take my word for it. I don't have time to show you, but by this time, those three tribes have come to be called by one name. They pretty much become to be called Gilead. That was the city, that was the portion of the country, and when Gilead's referred to now in the realm of people, not a place, Gilead has become the name for these three tribes combined together. They're the ones over the river. They're considered to be Gilead. But watch your Bible. Watch your Bible. Look with me here just a minute in Judges 5. I'm asking you to turn to all these places because most of us couldn't quote just where these three tribes keep coming up. But it's amazing how they keep coming up. Judges 5, Deborah is now judging Israel. I wonder, had those three tribes done what they were supposed to be, I wonder if it would have been left for Deborah to judge Israel. But Deborah is now judging Israel. That's a complete reversal from the way God had worked in the past. That's the way God was not used to doing it. But sometimes when those that are able won't do, God will still make do. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? The work's going to go on. Some would say, yeah, but this and that. But I wonder if somebody in those three tribes might have been who God could have used to judge Israel. But Deborah's judging Israel, and Deborah's leading them to victory. And Deborah, after victory comes in chapter 5, Deborah goes to singing a song. And look at Judges chapter 5, verse 15. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. But watch this. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds? To hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. You see, folks that get bogged down in a border town, they have involvement issues. Remember what Moses said, are you going to sit here while your brethren go to war? Well, guess what they wound up doing? They wound up sitting there while Deborah had to leave the battle. While Deborah had to send Barak down and fight the battle. And what did they do? The Bible said for Reuben's there were great searchings of heart. In other words, Reuben was sitting down there, study this out, follow the word's definition. Reuben was saying, you know, we need to do something. I wonder what we ought to do. I wonder how we're going to help. I wonder if we should go. I wonder, I plan to, I should. But guess what? They never did. The Bible said Gilead, those tribes stayed on their side of the river and let Deborah and Barak fight the battle. And I'm just saying to you, how many of us have found ourselves, God's people, are engaged in the warfare of the spiritual life, and we're sitting there with great thoughts of heart, great troubling of heart, saying, I know I need to do something. Preacher, I mean to be there. I want to help you. Preacher, I know you're struggling. I know there's a need. I know they need my help, but I just. And then what we ought to say is, I never. Have you found yourself spiritually in your prayer life bogged down in a border town? Have you found yourself spiritually in your faithfulness to the house of God bogged down in a border town? God's got all this in the promised land, but you said, you know, this just looks like a good place for where I'm at in life right now. I may not always have cows, but right now I've got cows. This just looks like a good place for a man with cows. I'll just stay here. We say, preacher, I've got young children. This just looks like a good place for a man with young children. Preacher, I've got this job situation, and over here just looks like a good place for a man with a busy job situation. And preacher, I've got this family issue going on, and right now I know God would have me to be over here, but over here in the border town, it just seems like a good place for a man with the family issues I've got going on. All the time, life ebbs by and ebbs by and ebbs by. Just like those we see, they wound up living in a hut, and they wound up making do, they wound up just instead of sojourning, they wound up dwelling. that right there in the border town. And I'm just trying to show you one thing tonight. There may be blessings untold just over in the land of promise. And we're settling. We're settling. Not only are we settling, we're suffering. God's children were inconsistent. God's children were incomplete. They didn't clean out the land. God's children had identity issues. God's children, my friend, had involvement issues. But it gets worse. 1 Chronicles, quickly, we're nearly done. 1 Chronicles, find your Bible, chapter number 5. Guess which three tribes we're going to read about? Got any idea? 1 Chronicles chapter 5. We're all aware that through the judgment that came on God's people, the nation of Israel was led into captivity. They were taken into bondage again. They were taken to Babylon. We're familiar with that story, right? How many of you would venture to guess who were the first to go? Look at your Bibles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 5, verse number 26. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilsner, king of Assyria, and he carried them away. Even the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. How many times have we seen that family that got bogged down in the border town? When the enemy comes, they're its first victims. When the adversary comes, when trouble comes, when bad choices come, when heartache comes, where does it always seem to hit first? Those families that settle in the border town. Where did the adversary go? The first three tribes that were carried away into captivity. You say, preacher, I know my Bible. They all wound up in captivity before it was over. You're right. Guess what? I want to be on the last boat out of town, don't you? I want to be on the first load to heaven. But when it comes to God's judgment and what He may do to our nation, I want to be on the last train, don't you? I don't want to be the ones leading the parade into captivity. Yeah, I realize things get worse and worse, and what starts here, eventually it trickles down. But I don't want to be, my family, be the first ones the adversary comes and drags off into prison and into bondage. But where did he come? He came to the people that were on the other side of the river, bogged down in that border town. The last place I refer to tonight is in our New Testament. In Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5, Jesus takes a boat ride. Where does he go? He takes it across the Sea of Galilee. And where does he head? He heads to the land of the Gadarenes, the descendants of the tribe of Gad. He has now went to the descendants. Generations have come to pass, and the Savior of the world is walking on this coast. The Savior of the world. The Savior of the world is there healing the demonic man who could not be bound with chains. But as the Lord dealt with him, as the Lord delivered him, he's now clothed and he's sitting in his right mind at the feet of Christ. And it was Jesus himself who went to the land of the Gadarenes. Guess what? That day, they were indifferent to the Savior. And because the Lord sent those demons into the swine, they bid the Lord to depart out of their coast. You and I both know our Bibles don't ever show the Lord ever going back there again. They were indifferent. They chose the swine over the Savior. Preacher, how could that ever happen? How could that ever happen? I believe the seeds of that were sown 1,000 years before when God's people said, you know what? We've got cows. And I know it must going to be good over yonder, but we've got cows in this place. We see it looks like a good place for cows. And from there, we've watched these three tribes. We've watched trouble and trouble and trouble. Who was the first people to not conquer? It was those three tribes. Who was the first people mentioned that didn't show up for battle when Deborah had to lead the nation? It was those three tribes. Who was the people that first went into captivity? It was those three tribes. Who was the people that said, we're afraid you're going to leave our children out of this. You're going to run our children off. You're going to forget our children. It was those three tribes. And it was the Gad, it was the Gadarenes that said to the Lord Jesus, depart. We'd rather have our swine business than have the Savior. And they asked him, they bid him depart out of their coast. I know that doesn't seem like a jubilee message. And I'd have rather preached something where we could have shouted about every 30 seconds. But real jubilee is being released from bondage. And there's folks that are sitting in church pews today, but they're living in a border town spiritually. Their prayer life has gotten bogged down. Their love for their neighbor has gotten bogged down. Their spiritual disciplines could have been on and progressed in advance, but they've gotten bogged down. And we got just enough sense not to miss church, but truth be told, we're not living in the land of milk and honey. We're bogged down somewhere just shy of that. And we need help. Because if we're not careful, we'll wind up just like they were. God's people will be laboring and fighting the battles, and we'll be sitting at home listening for the bleeding of the sheep. Well, we ought to hear God's call in our life. But see, it was the livestock that got them there, and it was the livestock that kept them there while their brethren went to war. And I want to tell you something today. Jesus said a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And I'm glad for an abundant prosperity that America enjoys. But I'm going to tell you, some of us may have gotten bogged down in a border town tonight. Some of us know family members. They're out there saying, don't forget about Susie. Don't forget about Johnny. Every time you talk to them, that's what they want to tell you. But they forgot about, well, you know, we were a part of that. Well, who asked you to quit being a part of it? Get back involved in it. There's more work to be done than there's ever been. Hey, more people than there's ever been. Just put them two things together. There's more work than there's ever been. But well, somebody forgot about Susie. Somebody forgot about Johnny. And it's downhill from there. I just want to ask you to stand tonight. And I don't know that there's an invitational song that can go with the mess I made. But I want to ask you tonight, would you be honest for just a minute? Would you just be honest for a moment? Take an inventory. Look and see where we're at tonight. Is there an issue of our life that we've said, God, I didn't realize what was going on, but I got bogged down. I didn't go on even under perfection. I wound up just camping out here, thought it looked good for my situation in life. God, I see some of those things in my life. Inconsistency, incompletion. I don't get involved like I need to. I let others fight the battles and carry the load. Lord, I'm always having identity issues. I'm always having to define and justify and explain. Always worried somebody's going to forget. God, Lord, I realize that sometimes I fall into that. And Lord, the adversary always seems to come by my house first. God, it always seems like others don't get that same trouble, but it always bothers me. Father, Lord, I sure don't want to be indifferent. Lord, I don't want it be, Father, Lord, that in my spirit, my actions, I'm saying to you, Lord, it's just not a good time. God, on this Monday night of Jubilee, Lord, I wonder if there's not some here from Floyd Road, not some from Calvary, not some from the community, that say, God, I just don't want to get bogged down. Help me to make sure I'm where I need to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to sit here while my brethren go to war. I want to be a part of the fight. God, help me tonight in these things. And Lord, draw me, God, and deal with me. Lord, I want to get to that land of blessing. Father, I don't want to get bogged down. And Lord, I want to be that help to my brother and bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.